It is amazing how many people will actually try to sidestep being born again to get into the kingdom of God. Oh, we have so many ideas, schemes, and plans to get into heaven apart from being born again. We want to bypass it altogether, and that is exactly what Nicodemus is trying to come up with as he approaches Jesus at night here in John chapter 3. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon continues our examination of John 3, verses 1 through 11. A second birth, that is what is essential if we are to be found in Christ. Let's catch up with Pastor Chris now for today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
Nicodemus has come to Jesus realizing this man is offering a lot by way of signs, and the Jews request a sign. They always have. Here comes the bomb in chapter 3 that Jesus drops. And you should, against all that, whatever confusion we have with where Nicodemus is, I think you should see that as a confusing. He is a confused individual. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand the Messiah. He doesn't even know if this is the Messiah. This Nicodemus is confused. And against all of that confusion, Jesus speaks in verse 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not even sure how strong to emphasize this. The words are duplicated here. A lot of translations have verily, verily. You've read this, especially in the old translations. You could translate it of a truth. Truly, truly. Whatever Jesus is saying here, he is saying this in the most emphatic, important way possible to give emphasis. It's a momentous statement in the Gospels, and John wants us to see that. It is a moment that we should stop and consider. Nicodemus, you're following me. You think I'm a good teacher of morals. You're impressed with the signs that I do. But for me to believe in your belief, here's what must happen. You must be born again before you'll ever enter God's kingdom. Now, I'm not sure we get the weight of that. It's fascinating to me that Jesus didn't begin with all of these things to clean up life, did he? He just didn't begin with anything that we think he should begin with. He didn't tell this religious Pharisee, this head of Israel, how better to live. He didn't start talking about fruits. He didn't talk about any of that. He didn't talk about moral reform. He didn't give him one single thing to do. Jesus is radical here in the message. And I highlight that because John records, the first discourse he records here is someone following him superficially. You don't need new fruits, Nicodemus. You need a whole new route of life. You don't need moral reformation. You need a whole new renovation. You don't need some prescriptions. You don't need all of that. You need a whole new kind of existence. For you to enter, which is fascinating, perceive, for you to understand this, you need to be born again. Your great need of life is that I take and give life to your absolutely dead black heart for you to be able to perceive what is in you. Take this back to chapter 2. You have to be able to perceive what's going on with you because I see what's going on in your heart. I know what's in man. There needs to be a whole new creation. This is a sweeping indictment, isn't it? It's a completely sweeping indictment. Talk about a severe judgment on his heart. And this is what we hear today, don't judge. Jesus just gave the most severe judgment upon this man. You have to put yourself in Nicodemus's shoes, I suppose, just for a moment. You can't live, Nicodemus, until you're born. But guess what? You're not born yet. I can't imagine how humbling. You know, this is a Pharisee. These guys had obtained the kingdom. They had taught that they already shared in the future world. He was of the chief council. He was zealous. He was the elect. All of the charitable acts, all of the prayers, all of the tithes, all of the prayers to be heard on the street corner, he just reduced it all in one swoop to animal dung. You know what this would be like today? Who's known as the vicar of Christ? The Pope. Last week, the Pope granted, I don't know if you read this, the Pope granted digital indulgences. Did you know that? Here was the offer. If you tweet Pope Francis on Catholic Youth Day in Rio, you would be granted plenary indulgences, which means people would be released from punishments to sins for their sins through a tweet. What do you think Jesus would say to the Pope? I think Jesus would walk right up to the Pope, and there would be all the pomp and glory, and the Pope would have a big showing. The Pope's going to meet Jesus today. And Jesus would look at the Pope and he would say, "Dear Pope, you need to be born again." Can you feel that? You're a Pope in Christendom. You're a Pope in Christianity. And you don't know that? Nicodemus, you have to be born all over, which means you haven't been born at all. Christ just took it all away. What an ending to the Pharisee, isn't it? This doesn't really fit our understanding of things at all, especially as human beings and people who work. I mean, I convince myself that I'm doing well when my life is in outward conformity. This is what I do. And this is how we naturally think. I mean, take Johnny. Take Johnny in the church. Johnny in the church. Johnny has some problems. Johnny's been raised in the church. Johnny has been catechized. But you know, Johnny loves to party. And so Johnny's out drinking it up, and Johnny knows that fooling around before marriage is wrong. And we tell him, "Johnny, you know, you need to stop living this way. You keep putting yourself in tempting situations, and you're not behaving as you claim to be a Christian. You're not behaving." And so what is our mentality with Johnny? What is our mentality? Well, Johnny just needs to start living what he believes, and then we'll get some moral improvement from Johnny. And we're happy. Johnny gets married. Johnny just basically goes through a maturity kind of process. And Johnny gets married, and Johnny lives a decent moral life. And Johnny gets married, and Johnny starts having children. And all of a sudden, you know, he's not leading that really bad life of the alcohol. And now he's really kind of cleaned it up. And he's living what we would call the typical Christian life. And what are we satisfied with? We're satisfied with that improvement, aren't we? Jesus has something to say about that. Our problem is much deeper. People morally improve all the time. People straighten up just with maturity over life. Children straighten up just with maturity. And we think so long as the bad behavior is replaced with good behavior, goal accomplished, we're happy. They're in church. I'm happy if they're in church. Nicodemus was in church. You need to be born again. At one pastor said, "I can be courteous, humane, beneficent, abstain from outward sin with hard struggling. Who can make me pure in heart? I have to wash you," says Christ. Nicodemus, in verse 4, says to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Remember this problem in John's gospel? All thinking physically, and how is Jesus speaking? He's not speaking that way. He's using figures. They even say this later in John's gospel. And what's been really striking is this absence. Really striking to me is the absence when Jesus says, "You must be born again." And this is what confuses us as American Christians, particularly the complete absence of how to do it. In other words, how we go get that. And so this dilemma is raised in the text. You have to be born again. But what do you see as the problem? Nicodemus can't perceive what Jesus perceives about his own heart. He doesn't have the ability to perceive it. That's why the end of chapter 2 is so important. And this is Ezekiel. This is Ezekiel when Ezekiel was told to go prophesy. And remember, he set him out in the midst of a valley, and he was told to look out into the valley and see from God's perspective what men look like. And what do men look like? Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in an open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Can they have life? Because right now they don't. They're dead men walking. So I answered, Oh Lord God, you know. And then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones. Say to these bones, Oh dry bones, and I'll come back to this, hear the word of the Lord. You've got to be born again. And your greatest problem is you can't do it. And for those who are dead, they don't even care. Now, as we come back to the text tonight, we can't regenerate our hearts. Nicodemus shows us the total inability. Jesus here teaches total depravity. So you've got the two doctrines right here. Total inability and total depravity set right side by side. It's important to see it play out in Scripture, isn't it? What's the answer? Who is the answer? And I think this is what is so glorious this morning about John 3. He came here knowing what was in man. Could you imagine if he didn't? Imagine if Jesus came here and he didn't know what was the problem and stumbled on this problem. Whoa, I didn't realize when I came here that all of these people wouldn't receive me. He knew it. He came here with the assignment and knew every bit how wretched that heart is. And I believe John 5, when Jesus comes, I love John 5. When Jesus comes in John 5 and he begins to teach his disciples, he says something that is so special in light of Nicodemus in verse 5. Listen to what he says. Most assuredly, I say to you. Actually, I'll come back to that. I'm going to come back to that. Look what Jesus says first to Nicodemus. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. How is one made alive? How is one given life through water and the Spirit? Any reader of the Old Testament knew that this was the great promise that the Lord had made throughout his prophets of the new covenant ministry, of the work of the Holy Spirit, who when he would be taken to the ends of the earth, the gospel, he would regenerate hearts and pour life out. This is Pentecost, to the ends of the earth. And this was spoken of all over the Old Testament. When Ezekiel said, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and carefully obey my rules. You will dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. I'll do it. I'm going to take your hearts and I'm going to implant life in there. And by the power of the Spirit, there's going to be a whole new man raised. And I'm going to purify your consciences from dead works to worship and serve the living God. Now come back to John 5. Listen to what he says. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. In other words, here's what happens when life comes into the heart and soul of man. This is where it starts for someone. This is, and this is what I've seen in the life of the church. You know, you have the parable of the wheat and the tares, and these two are growing up together, and the angels are confused, and they say, well, let's just come and uproot the tares. And the Lord says, no, don't do that, lest you uproot the wheat, because there's a time when you can't tell in the life of the kingdom. Why? Because life is being given in people's lives when the Lord chooses by the Spirit. And when life comes, all of a sudden, fruit. And I've seen this in the life of the church where people have been dormant and cold throughout the course of their lives. And all of a sudden, they start hearing. And what has happened? They come alive. Notice what Jesus says here in John 5. Whoever hears and believes. Do you hear and believe God's word today? Present verbs, what that means is, this is what is the ongoing thing happening in the life of those who are believers in Christ, who've been born again. Here's what Christ's saying. Whoever has the ability to hear the word and believe in Jesus Christ, that is the evidence that life has already been implanted in the heart. He doesn't say, if you hear and believe, you will have life. That's not how the construction is. It goes like this. Those of you who hear right now the word and believe in Jesus Christ, you are in possession of life already. It's yours. When you don't have life, what does it look like? The woman at the well, who, when she was told that she needed living water, Jesus says, go get me a drink. She says, you don't have a bucket. Go call your husband to me. I don't have a husband. No life. She can't perceive what Jesus perceives. The same is true with Nicodemus. You got to be born again. How do I go and get in a womb that's big enough for that? Dead. Dead. No ability to see what Jesus sees. And Christ is telling us this morning that unless life is planted in the heart, nobody believes. No one will come. And how beautiful it is, you know, when after Jesus is done with the woman at the well, what has she left? Her water pot. And she's running back to a city. And she's telling others about him. After Jesus is done with Nicodemus, don't you find it remarkable that at the very end of this all, when Jesus has died, who's carrying the fragrances for his burial? Nicodemus. Life. And Christ is showing us through these people his power to do this. This is why Peter says it's not of, we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by what? Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. See how important it is to sit under and hear the word of God. Because the ability to hear as he takes that word is evidence that he has implanted life. And so when the Spirit regenerates us, at some point we have this conscious awareness of who we are. We perceive things as Jesus has perceived it. We stop the fighting. We stop justifying the paths of darkness, and we say, I am dead. I am in trouble. I feel how lost I am without him. And this giving of life by the Spirit, I then come. I come to him. And I hear him when he says, whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I grow from that point on in understanding how overwhelming it has been that the Spirit blew life upon me when he didn't have to do it. And that's why I think verse 6 is so powerful. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. When I've been given that kind of life, by the sovereign love and grace of God, You know what your life becomes? You stand back marveling, praising Him for His grace and His mercy that He's shown to you. This must have been a moment for Nicodemus, brought up in the church, believed he could save himself by obedience to conformity to the law, and Jesus just paralyzes him. And I'm so thankful that Jesus cares to paralyze us. I'm so thankful that He cares to come and to bring an end to us and to tell us that our hearts are deceitful above all things. Because you know what I would give Him if He didn't come and do that? I would give Him exactly the end of John chapter 2. And that's the best I would ever offer Him. A half-hearted devotion that He doesn't believe in without a changed heart. Jesus took Nicodemus and He took everything from him that day, stripped him, so that He could say with John 9, I once was blind, now I see. And so I pray that we see ourselves through the life of Nicodemus and give glory to God today. That when these calls are coming, this is what John 3 said, whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When that gospel call goes out and the pastor stands up and preaches the word with the ultimate aim of saying that, that when we see these young people, which I'm seeing, come and life is being given, we would marvel at the grace of God that He's continuing to do this. And that we'd be thankful that the project that He starts, He doesn't let fall to the wayside. Having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee, He is, of our inheritance until the purchased possession, until we're there. May we marvel today at what Christ has done for us and praise Him that He cares and that He's given us life. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, our God, we thank You that in Your sovereign power and grace, You pursue and that You come to seek and to save that which is lost, and that You didn't come here figuring out what was the problem with man. You came here fully knowing how rotten the heart is, and You came to give life, to die on the cross, to rise again, sending Your powerful Spirit, that by Your blood and righteousness, O Christ, we can be sure and confident that we belong and have already been given eternal life. And so for any kind of belief and faith today, we give all praise and glory to You because it's a gift of Your grace. And we're thankful that You are accomplishing Your salvation to the ends of the earth, and not one of Your sheep will be lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, a very essential truth to lay the foundation for where we are headed as we continue our journey through John, this understanding that we need to be born again. And there's no bypassing it, no getting around it with moral goodness. Well, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Our time today in John, we trust our time together has encouraged you and clarified in your own mind and in your own walk and relationship with Christ just how necessary it is to be born again. Reach out to us, 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805 or agradio.org. Questions and comments are always welcome. You can also direct your questions to questions@agradio.org. If you would like to send it using your voice memo app, you're more than welcome to do so. And we are looking for those who have an interest in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio. AG Radio is listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program, how it speaks into your life spiritually. If you're someone who sees that value in your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. And we always say it, no gift is too small or too large, either one time or reoccurring. It all sustains this program here on this station. So you can either donate online at agradio.org or again call 888-504-8805. You're also welcome to write to us. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code 98264. Thank you so much for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.